joint work with Boris Blumstein, a master's student at Sandy's Supervisor, and my PhD advisor, Thomas Gross. The work was done while I was still at EPH Zurich, and I'm now moving to postdoc. The topic of the talk is that, like, you're all aware of the security dilemma. Both integrity and availability of applications are threatened by a whole bunch of vulnerabilities that are out there. And we have to face the fact that softwares have bugs, and you need to update that and protect them from exploitation. And there are two possible remedies that we can look at, either updating the application or sandboxing. And both of these remedies have their advantages and disadvantages. So on one hand, security updates for known vulnerabilities fix these vulnerabilities, but they require a service restart. Sandboxes, on the other hand, protect from unknown vulnerabilities, but stop the service whenever an attack is detected, thereby limiting the availability, but enforcing integrity of the service. We would actually like to have both, and we will see how we can get there. One important insight that we had is that both sandboxes and security updates and dynamic update mechanisms rely on some form of virtualization system on top of it to actually provide either sandboxing or dynamic software updates. And binary translation is the perfect technology to provide this form of virtualization. So binary translation can add an additional sandbox and enforces the integrity of the application. And we can add a dynamic update mechanism as well to protect the availability of the application whenever a security update is available. And to give you an overview of DIMSEC in 2 minutes, let's start off with how a regular application interacts with the kernel. So this is how the application would start in the beginning. We take this application and wrap it into an additional sandbox around it, and we use binary translation for that. During the binary translation process, we can actually add additional security guarantees on top of it. We also need to take care for shared libraries, so we need to have a dynamic loader component in the sandbox as well. And we add a DIMSEC component, which is an additional stress that we inject into the software runtime system that keeps track of available software patches and applies them at runtime. And of course, from the right-hand side, there are patches flying in that are dynamically applied to the running application. And our orthogonal problem by exit is how we can extract patches and how we can distribute patches and how we handle all these things together. So let's start with the outline of the talk after motivation. We will start with the binary translation component and look how these different things play together. And we'll go through all these components after each other. So binary translation is a very nice, interesting technology that instead of executing the code directly on the existing hardware, we add an additional abstraction level in between. And we take the already existing code, we map it as read-only, we never execute it, but we add a binary translation component that works on individual basic blocks and translates these basic blocks. And on one hand, we can read available patches into the executed code. And on the other hand, we can also protect from different kinds of security exploits, like return-oriented programming, buffer overrides, control flow redirection, and so on, all in the same binary translator. Binary translator works on a basic block level and places each translated basic block in a code cache with the security updates and the patches as well. So the code cache only contains patched basic blocks that have the security patches already available and have additional security checks in there as well, at some small performance cost. So after we've seen the overview of the binary translation component, which actually enables this technology, let's have a look at the DIMSEC component and how we add that. Basically, it's an additional thread that we inject into the running process that takes care of all the patch handling, the patch distribution, updating and synchronizing all the application threads. So the solution I present here works on unmodified binary applications that are multi-threaded across different domains and so on. And we have to support all of that, including like signaling and all these debug things that are available on a low-level system. So the patching architecture works as follows. The DynSec stress that we inject waits for incoming patches and keeps calling a specific directory for any additional data that's out there. Whenever we have an incoming patch, the patch application works in three steps. First, the DynSec thread coordinates and signals all the three different all the application threads to stop at the next stage point. Due to a clever implementation, we can run we can synchronize all the threads at the next basic prompt level. The details how we implemented that are in the paper, and you can check out the source code as well. So we have zero overhead at runtime to synchronize the threads at the next basic clock level, but we pay some overhead and small cost whenever we force the applications to synchronize and stuff. And patch application happens as follows. We flush, we tell all the application threads to flush their code caches, thereby starting anew and retranslating all the executed code. And during the retranslation, for every instruction that we translate, we check if there's actually a patch available. If the patch is available, we use the patch instructions instead of using the original instructions. And after the code cache flush, we just restart all the application threads. And there are a whole bunch of little details how we have to carefully do that so that we do not destroy the integrity of the process. The patch is then applied indirectly, as I told you, when the code is retranslated. And the binary template keeps checking for every instruction of the patch, if there's a patch available. So, after presenting you the DynSec thread, let's move on to how we do patch extraction, how we envision to do patch distribution. First of all, as I told you, the focus of DynSec is on security updates. The system itself is general, so we can replace any instruction in the application, but we don't really give any guarantees what will happen if the programmer replaces a wrong instruction. But what we've seen when we looked at a whole bunch of security updates are that most security updates actually only change very few lines of code. And type changes or code refactoring are actually out of scope, but they don't really happen for security updates. So when we look at, let's say, Apache security updates, most of them out of like 40, 50 patches, only two or three did some type changes that were out of scope. The patches themselves are a set of change instructions that are added as hints into the binary translation layer. When the original instruction is replaced by a new instruction. But to make things simpler, so this would already be general enough, but to make things simpler, we already know that we have a logger component in the binary translation domain. So using this logger component, we can enable each patch to use an additional shared library on top of it. And this shared library is only visible in the context of the patch itself. So if you want to replace, let's say, a complete function, or the security patch added an additional checker function on top of it, we inject the shared library that includes the checker function, and we can just replace or add a chunk from the original location to the newly injected function, which makes patch handling much simpler. But it's you could do the same thing just with instruction level changes, but it's just like a syntactic sugar on top of it to make the life of the patch writer easier. Patch extraction, as I already told you, we don't really give any guarantees. So what we came up with is that we look at the two different binaries and try to extract the differences between these two binaries. What we saw that like on current Linux distributions, the tool chain is actually fixed. So if you use Ubuntu 12 or 13.0 or something like that, you will have the same tool chain for all the applications, the same compiler tool chain and everything like that. On top of it, the application version is fixed as well, and the maintainers only backport the security patches. So if you have two binaries, the old version and the new version, when you're comparing that, the only thing that will change is actually the new security patch. And you can just extract that by using some binary lifting approach that looks at the different the instructions that actually change between the binaries. We have a set of scripts that work on a per function level and it extracts the change instructions and adds them to a patch. On top of that, we enforce that the programmer actually needs to look at the patches to guarantee that there were no type changes, as we don't give any guarantees whatsoever. Patch distribution. A nice opportunity for patch distribution is that most Linux systems and most Linux distributions provide a dynamic update service. And they already download the new packages when they are available for to make it more convenient for a system administrator to install all these different patches. And you can actually just piggyback on this distribution service. So it's easy for the maintainer to extract a binary patch when a new version is added or a new version is compiled and a security patch is recorded. And then we just add this binary patch to the package that is released as well. The system can then download these patches, these new packages, and automatically install these dynamic security patches on the fly while the system is running by using our dynamic update infrastructure. And the system administrator can then update the original binaries on the disk during the next maintenance window and just wait until that window comes through. And to give you some notion of the time it takes to restart Apache for larger for larger installations with 40, 80 threads or something like that, it might take up to 20 seconds to restart the Apache service. And all the requests that go to that service will time out during that time. And if the system administrators have such a service to delay the update window, it actually makes sense for them to install the dynamic patches on the fly using the automatic system and wait until the next maintenance window where there's a very low amount of requests. So I showed you the system. Let's now look at the overall picture and the implementation through the evaluation on top of it to see how much performance you actually have to pay for such a system. The DIMSEC component builds on the Trulia Detox system, which is a simple binary translator that already adds a whole bunch of security updates on top of it. We implemented the additional thread that handles all the patches and the patching infrastructure in less than 2,000 lines of C code. And of the original binary translator and sandbox, we only had, on top of that sandbox, we only had to change 48 lines of code to add the additional hooks to inject alternate instructions whenever a new instruction is available for a specific instruction of the original application. Again, we support unmodified, unaware, multi-threaded x86 applications on current Linux systems. There would even be possible to add this extension to stop the application while it's already running and patch the update system on the fly. But there will be one extension. Right now we implemented the way that we start the original application as a parameter to our DIMSEC component and tell it where how we should handle the updates. Let's look at the evaluation. We evaluated DIMSEC using the SPEC CPU benchmarks on a fairly modern CPU on a regular Ubuntu system and we used GCC for that. We evaluated three different configurations naked to compare the overhead. Then we looked at sandboxing overhead that we have on top of it using our true runtime with an additional shadow stack that protects from attacks like return programming and overrides on the shadow stack and a whole bunch of additional function flow checks that are on top of it. And we added the DIMSEC component as always with one large patch that replaces part of the binary runtime. Let's look at the CPU performance. First of all, we see that performance is not too bad. Most applications have very low performance overhead, and the performance overhead for DIMSEC is comparable to the sandboxing overhead itself. There are some applications that have higher overhead, like Purplench. This is mostly due to the sandboxing overhead where we have to protect every indirect control flow transfers and ensure that they adhere to the safeguards that we added on top of it. The general mean, the overall mean for all the spec CPU benchmarks is 11%. And keep in mind, these are very CPU-intensive benchmarks. So this is the higher amount of overhead that we'll see. If we look at IO-intensive benchmarks, our overhead will be much lower than this. So we can conclude that we have a very low performance overhead of roughly 11% on average for these systems. And the overhead for DIMMSEC is comparable to the sandboxing overhead. It only adds a little bit on top of it, which is almost not noticeable. We also did a small security study where we used Core HTTPD, which is a small and simple web server that supports CGI scripts. And luckily for us, this web server has a whole bunch of security vulnerabilities in there. And we took the baseline version and added patches for all these different security vulnerabilities and added them during the runtime. We also ensured that we can exploit these vulnerabilities both in the sandbox and outside of the sandbox. We ensured that the sandbox stops the vulnerability, but the application, of course, crashes and is terminated with an error log. When we apply these patches, the core HTTP service is able to continue and continues to serve all the requests as it is intended. We actually implemented all these security vulnerabilities as unit tests to ensure that any changes to the DIMMSEC system will actually work out and continue to work. So this was the evaluation of the system. You've seen that the overhead is not too high, only 11%. We can protect unmodified applications. And we have a simple patch extraction scheme and proposed one way to distribute these patches. Let me conclude the talk. So you see that DIMMSEC offers on-the-fly code rewriting, and we can repair the application code for unmodified binary applications that are unaware of any dynamic software update system. On the downside, we don't give any guarantees from the runtime system side, so it's the programmer's responsibility to take care of the updates themselves. Our key solution is to use virtualization, in this case through binary translation, to combine the power of two worlds. On one hand, we can use a sandbox to protect the integrity of the application, and we can use a dynamic update system to provide availability for already recognized vulnerabilities and where patches are actually available. With that, I would like to conclude my talk, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Next time you call the function, you actually execute the new one.
So
So,
and keep in mind you have an organization system between the memory, right? So we can let the application delete and it's still executing in place.
So on the results that you had, when you were measuring the performance overhead, were you measuring did you actually apply updates to those spec programs, or you were just measuring overhead of those? Did you update the spec programs as they were running? I guess what I'm getting at is I'm wondering.
You mean steady state versus
What I'm more interested in is
there was one patch in the beginning, and the thing is, we did a longer study on Apache where we applied patches during the execution.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't have the graphic here. The thing is, so if you have very few connections, so if you have thousands of connections, you don't notice anything. But if you only have like 10 connections, you see a drop. In throughput, because you have to retranslate the whole code base. This really comes back to the kind of binary translator that we are using. The True system uses a dynamic table-based binary translator, so it's very fast in translating individual instructions. So the translational rate is really, really low. If we would use a system like PIM or Wolgrind, then the retranslation overhead would be significant, and it would cost us a lot to retranslate the whole application. And in that case, so for Apache, if it's roughly more than 100 connections, we don't notice anything. If it's less than 100, you see a problem. In throughput. Yes, please.
So when you signal all the threads to stop, do you lose any state? Like when you catch a thread at a bad place, you mentioned you want to flush the code back.
Yes.
And then you restart them again. Is it ever a problem where you restart or how you restart?
The application stopped at the end of a basic block. And the code cache is only a cache, right? As soon as the cache is flushed, when we continue execution, it continues at the point where we stop the thread.
Okay.
And the binary translator will just like translate the next basic block.
Gotcha.
So we won't really lose any data.
That was my question.
That's the nice thing of having one additional layer of indirection in the field, right? So we can just stop it, replace anything that we already cached, and continue our execution.
But a key aspect of it is the fact that local memory is allocated in basic blocks, and so you don't have state problems in terms of in replacing one basic block with another basic block.
We are stopping the allocations on the basic block levels. Otherwise, it would be much more complicated. In theory, we could come up with a solution of basic blocks that are just one instruction long, so it's still a basic block, right? Depending on how we do it. And then we could stop on the instruction level. But this doesn't give us any additional features on top of it. Yes, please.
Okay, so here's a scenario. Suppose that you have many machines that you want to patch in this way, and you have a pretty good initial patch for an issue, and it goes out and it gets onto some of the machines and it's working okay. But the person who originated it says, oh, wait a minute, there's a much better way to do this. And that one was not quite right, and it's touching the same area exactly. So here comes the revised, better fix. Okay, but you've only deployed the first fix on some of the machines. I'm asking this about your methodology. Can you create one patch you distribute that can handle two different bases, the patched and unpatched? Or can you express interpatch dependency that the first one triggers the second one triggers the first?
Yeah, that's a good question. We assume that on all machines the same baseline version is running. And the current system only supports one active patch. If you want to replace that patch, your new patch will have to include everything else that's in there within the first patch that still makes sense, right? So you can just drop it. You're in a virtualization system, so you can just drop the first patch for the machines that already have the patch installed and apply the new patch. You're just changing the code, right? You're not changing any data. For the machines that did not get the first patch, you'll just apply the second patch in the same way and you'll do the first patch that way. So you can handle both cases. So to add an additional patch is basically flushing the code cache, unloading the shared library that we have in the patch domain, loading the new patch, adding the shared library to the runtime system, and then continuing all the threads.